This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll look at spiritual awakening and the one ingredient that can revolutionize our prayer lives. Bill Eliff will be our guest.
John said, I've come to know and believe the love God has for me. And perfect love casts out fear. I'm not afraid. I have nothing to fear if I know the Lord loves me like that.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Ed.
Wesley Wildman, good morning to you.
And good morning.
And Chris Woodward, a news reporter extraordinaire for American Family News. Good morning to you, Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
We got breaking news.
We do. Oh, well, go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead with it.
If I could, and I got everybody's attention because
sure
y'all
did.
Don't even know what I'm about to say.
I don't.
McDonald's is adding a brand new menu item, McCrispy Strips.
McCrispy Strips?
Yes, I said it correct. Yes. McCrispy Strips.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Sorry, guys. I couldn't help myself.
Are you a big fan of McDonald's?
We hit her.
Kids.
A couple times a month, maybe two, three times. But
yeah.
Anyways, when I got to my computer here and you were doing the intro, the first thing I saw was this breaking news that I just shared with everybody. And I was like, surely not. And it is.
Yeah. If you read down through the story, they're going to glue together some McNuggets.
The only one. That's it.
Yeah.
That's well played, Fred.
RFK
Sorry.
Doesn't like that.
Well, so you're, but at least you're not easily distracted. First thing that popped up.
It said McDonald's has something crispy.
We're
for
actually
us.
Not far from a McDonald's. We could send somebody out and do a live taste testing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an even better idea.
To glue the nuggets together. That was worth all of it, though.
It is Thursday, April 24th. That is today. Now, by the way, when does the McCrispy come out? I mean, if you're going to have breaking news, you got to have, it's got to be the what, when, where, how, why.
By the end of 2025.
The end of...
Well,
takes that long
that's
to glue
breaking,
them together?
That's not breaking news.
You know what? I don't know. That's a good question.
That's a big head start.
We need to come back to that.
By the end of 2025.
It's kind of an odd thing, though, because everybody loves... I mean, one of the reasons people go to McDonald's is for the Chicken McNugget.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that would be like Chick-fil-A offering...
Okay. I'm wrong. May 5th.
Okay.
There's your answer.
Oh, so it's coming right up.
May 5th.
Now, that is breaking news.
That is. There we go.
Well, folks, that's why you tune in to listen to this show. For
we're gonna get serious.
I will say this one other thing. Somebody messaged me on Facebook. I have been getting away from Facebook more and more, just simply because it's just a huge time suck trying to approve the tens of thousands of people who want to be my friend.
Uh-huh.
But somebody did and said that here in Tupelo, Mississippi, which is the home base of our American Family Radio Network, we are getting an actual Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and I just was surprised. I mean, we're talking about one of those generational family recipe kind of Italian restaurants. So
they say it's very authentic.
Yes.
It's in a place called Crosstown.
Yeah. Well, pretty excited about that, I'm going to tell you. More
Good
excited
you.
About that than McCrispies, but
when you get caught by the train, go in and have some pasta.
That's right. All right. It is, as I said, April 24th. We're coming up to the end of the month. Chris, other than the McDonald's news, what other news did we want to touch on here?
Well, let's begin with this one. As President Donald Trump approaches the 100th day of his second term, there's a new Fox News survey that finds voters are pleased with the job Mr. Trump is doing on border security, but they're displeased on some other issues, including inflation and economic issues. Harrison Fields is a special assistant to President Trump, and he came out on Fox News this morning to talk about this new survey and the president's policies. Clip one.
Well, I think overall the American people are giving the president his due time to get in here. It's only about 4 months to go in and do what they elected him to do, which is eventually tax cuts. We are continuing to do deregulation, and tariffs are playing one role. But if you talk to people in Main Street, you talk Macomb County, you talk Rochester, New York, these are people that are very supportive because he is reshoring jobs back into the country and prioritizing the American worker and not the worker of Vietnam. So these are all great things. And I'll just remind the American people, the poll that was conducted on November 5th, which happened to be Election Day, we had 77 million Americans vote for Trump policy. So it's only about 4 months. Give us some time. The economy is looking very strong. Look at inflation numbers. Look at jobs numbers. We are just getting started.
Well, Fred, this is part of the pressure that builds on a new administration. I say new administration because President Trump had the Biden term in between his two administrations. When you come in, especially with all the promises that President Trump made, okay, pressure builds to get immediate results.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about the economy, that's not possible.
No.
Only in very rare circumstances could you have a president affect widespread economic changes. But I would say that economics and especially inflation, the cost of everything at the kitchen table, that was probably the main driver of President Trump's election. The border might have followed closely behind it. But this is a necessary call to remind the American people that it takes time.
It does. On the border, President Trump has hit it out of the park.
Right.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing what has happened on our southern border. The pictures that we have seen during the Biden years, when it was like everybody descending into a rock concert.
It was like a line at Disney World or something.
It was incredible. Same places now. Fox has been down there taking pictures, and there are people out sweeping the walkway that was there. So I mean, when it comes to all of the smoke that the Democrats are putting up right now over deportation, that's exactly what it is. It's deportation. It's Obama judges that are helping these people out. So I think eventually that's going to be cleared. When it comes to the economy, you're exactly right. It is going to take some time. President Trump has a big picture on the economy.
Yes.
And part of what we're seeing right now is his effort against what he believes is how unfair the United States has been treated by other countries in trade. The trade imbalances. When we say that trade imbalances, it is we buy far more stuff from other countries than what we send them.
Yes.
That's kind of it.
It was our trade deficit last year was over $1 trillion.
Yeah. So he's trying to correct that.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do. And that's going to take some time. I think we reported yesterday he has at least 18 countries right now that have put proposals forward so that it's going to be fair trade. We had some reports yesterday where he's willing to compromise even with China on some of these things. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take time. But you know what? As I go to the grocery store and get gas for my vehicle, I've noticed gas prices are down lower than they've been in a long, long time.
Right.
So I'm not seeing a problem there. I mean, you're still seeing some problem with egg prices here and there, that sort of thing. But I think as gas prices, as we've said often, as gas prices go down, one of the big expenses with commodities is shipping the articles
right
to your grocery store, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that will correct itself too.
Yeah.
I think one of the big things right now, obviously, has been with the tariff war, it's the stock market. People have been looking at the stock market, what's going to happen to my 401k, et cetera.
Right.
But even in the last 48 hours, we've seen some major corrections upwards on that. And if you talk to your financial advisors, they say, just hold on. It's going to come back.
Well, Wesley, one of the things that I think has caused some problems for President Trump is he's a very confident man, and he made promises that were probably unrealistic because that's just the way his mind thinks. When he promises, I'll have the Russia-Ukraine war solved in 24 hours.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
You know, I'm going to bring down prices so quickly you can't believe it. Well,
let's go pay for the wall.
Yeah. Yes. So, but it makes people expect that he's going to get it done that quickly, when even President Trump probably is thinking that's hyperbole.
Sure.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well,
what are
I got
your
a,
thoughts?
Oh, well, I got a couple questions for the news guys here.
Okay.
Obviously, and it's all on the same topic here. There is a cost of living increase that happens every year anyways. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in addition to that taking place, and as bad as the economy actually is, what is a realistic expectation that a conservative or a Republican or someone even in the middle or more moderate can expect? Obviously on the far left, they're going to criticize
them. Even, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, but if you were a moderate, what is a realistic expectation? Because he's got 4 years. He's 100 days in. So we could be really mad at the midterm because economically things aren't drastically better.
Yeah.
But in 4 years, what is a realistic expectation? Because it's really bad. He came into a really bad situation.
Yeah, you're talking about inflation.
Inflation.
Right?
It came in with a really bad inflation. Your grocery bill for families was up drastically.
Yeah.
One thing we mentioned in the past is the comparison under the first Trump administration and Biden's administration as it relates to just Chick-fil-A chicken nugget prices. I mean, yeah. It was doubled just about. So as bad as it is, and you have the annual cost of living, what is a realistic expectation?
All right, Chris, what's your answer first, then, Fred?
Yeah, Walker and I have talked about this pretty often on At the Core, in a segment that airs on Fridays.
Okay.
And we are both in agreement that pretty much you're going to see really big positive impacts changes by the end of this year at the earliest, the spring of next year, which is not a terrible thing for Republicans trying to retain their majorities in the House or grow their majorities in the midterm election.
So not tomorrow, right?
Not tomorrow.
Okay.
And the reason I would say that is energy impacts inflation. Higher energy prices impacts everything from fuel and transportation costs, all these things that impact our daily lifestyle choices, right? Mm-hmm. So his policies on drilling more in areas we haven't been opening because of Biden's policies, that stuff takes months. It doesn't begin tomorrow, even though he wants to, quote, drill, baby, drill.
Right.
It takes time because you have to clear stuff out, hire people, dig, all that stuff. So really, I think his policies in the way of energy are going to impact prices by the end of this year, certainly by spring of next year. And, oh, by the way, we're going to be hiring people to build all the plants that are saying they're going to start popping up in the United States to get around the tariffs.
Yeah.
So that's going to help jobs and all these other things. I would say realistically, Christmas at the earliest, Easter next year, before you really start seeing positive stuff.
Right.
I think the only thing economically that can hurt the president, I agree with what Chris is saying, give it some time. And we can go way back to Jimmy Carter. Interest rates climbing.
Yeah.
If interest rates are climbing, and that will kill an economy.
That's right.
So we have to wait and see on that front. If interest rates are still relatively low right now, and in fact, people I've been talking to, they're hearing from their banks, hey, do you want to renegotiate? Now's a really good time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a 1% drop in interest rates is going to make a big difference in your mortgage payout. So that's the kind of thing. If he can keep interest rates low.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing that's really interesting, you notice the Democrats have stopped talking about the economy?
Yeah.
They're not. They're talking about bringing guys home who are human smugglers from El Salvador.
Right.
Now, that's a sign of a desperate party.
Mm-hmm.
If the economy was really, really bad and they think they could win on that issue, they'd be talking about that every day.
Because that's what Trump did to get elected.
Yes.
When he talked about how bad the economy was. Yeah. Other issues, too.
Yeah.
But
yeah. All they're talking about is due process to bring Joe Garcia home from, not home, back into the United States. Because he's in El Salvador. By the way, we have a story this morning. There's more news coming out of the Justice Department about Mr. Garcia.
Yeah, we will get to that issue. But to your point, Fred, this is a political party talking about the Democrats without a message.
Oh, yeah.
Because you put all your eggs into that basket, the Garcia basket.
Mm. Yeah.
And as we're going to see, the Justice Department has been releasing more and more information about this guy. He's not a good guy. He's not a hero.
No.
In fact, he is probably going to wind up in the minds of most Americans being a villainous character. And if the Democrats have sided with him, that's going to be a bad look. Yeah. The only other thing I would say with regards to the economy is that, yes, money policy with the Fed, that does affect if their interest rates are too high, it crushes economic expansion. If they're too low, it makes money too freely available and helps fuel inflation. And then also President Trump's idea about sending off checks, you know, $5,000 to every family. That now, believe me, I know there are people out there going, we could really use that money. I understand that impulse. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is the trade-off, and this is what happened after COVID hit, we had the lockdowns. Mm-hmm. That was in part, and that was Trump / Biden both, that was in part what fueled inflation. So all these other things, in addition to the energy costs, are going to determine what the economy does here over the next 6 months to a year.
I do want to mention briefly gas prices. To Fred's point, they are down, and they're down a lot. Today's national average for a gallon of regular gasoline is $3.17. A year ago, $3.66. Okay. Right. The all-important diesel number today is $3.56 a gallon on average. A year ago, it was over $4. Diesel, whether you drive a diesel-powered vehicle or not, still impacts you because whatever you're buying at a store got there thanks to diesel.
Yeah.
So the more we can do to bring down the price of diesel, that's going to impact everybody, even if you drive a regular gas-powered car or an EV. Yeah.
And naturally, as we cover politics and we cover what Trump's doing in his administration, naturally we want him to do well because – but if you think about it, even at 100 days, it's certainly not worse than it was. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. He needs to keep his promises.
Yeah.
He's got 4 years to get it done. And we need to see some improvements in the next, 6 to 12 months. But in all reality, just it ain't worse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, could it?
I would say.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Grocery prices, in my opinion. Now, my wife does most of the shopping, but I went with her this past week, we had some time off here, obviously Good Friday. And I think that was when we went to, Walmart, a couple places to get some groceries for the weekend. And grocery prices are still high.
Right.
And that is still putting a crimp on everyone. But like you said, Wesley, it's not worse and it may be trending in the right direction.
Yep.
So, all right. What else we got?
Let's get into this because it's a good soundbite that I really want to play. Illinois Republican Congresswoman Mary Miller is calling for a federal investigation after the state's High School Athletic Association said it would continue allowing males to compete in female sports. Now, at least six states are fighting President Trump's executive order barring males from female sports. That's despite that polling that even shows a majority of Americans support the president on this. There's a guy named Frank Murphy, who is the chairman of Athletes for America at the America First Policy Institute. He's also a former professional athlete. And he had this to say earlier today on Fox and Friends First, clip 4.
It's hurting women opportunity. It's hurting women privilege. It's hurting them in every phase of sports because now you're taking away from the very thing that they work so hard for just because you're not satisfied with who you are. Time for sports men that play sports at the NFL level, NBA level, wrestling, whatever it is, it's time for men to stand up for the women in sports. I mean, pay attention. God fearfully, wonderfully made you. That means he made you wonderfully. That means he made you even with a bit of fear to make sure that you're perfect in his eyes. And so you're looking at God saying, no, I'm not perfect. So I'm going to change some things. That's not the way to go. If he made you a man, you ought to be excited and happy to be a man.
Well, now we are, by the way, folks, just in the way of giving you a heads up after the break at the bottom of the hour, Sandy Rios is going to be joining us and we are going to talk with her a little bit about these Democratic states that are, we're going to talk about both Republicans and Democrats with Sandy. But Fred, this is, now we've dealt with this issue a lot over the last several years, especially under the Biden administration, because he was all in, I think it was him, whoever was pulling the strings was absolutely in. So we've got a Democratic Party that is all in on Garcia. I forget his first name.
Kilmer.
Kilmer. All in on the quote-unquote due process for gang members.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have increasingly these states like Illinois, to mm-hmm. the point Chris is making, but how many states? Was it six?
At least
said?
Six.
So Maine is one of those.
Minnesota, Illinois, a few others.
Yeah.
Probably California.
So now that's another issue. When I said there was a Democratic Party was a party without a kind of a platform or issues that appealed to the American voter, I didn't mean they didn't have any issues. But they've got due process. Yeah, due process for illegal immigrants. And, yeah, we're all in on allowing men to compete in women's sports. This is an insane approach to trying to appeal to a wide swath of the electorate.
Well, the polling prior to the election last November made it very clear. The large majority of the American people, whether they're Republicans or Democrats,
I got it right here.
Democrats or independents, are opposed to biological males competing in women's sports. Just before coming into the studio, Fox did an interview with somebody on this topic, and he gave a figure that I have not heard before. Over the last couple of years, 900 awards within female sports have gone to biological males that are being allowed to compete. 900.
Now, you're talking about in terms of winning competitions?
Yes.
And then awards for superior excellence and all that kind of?
Democrats tried to tell us this is a minor issue. It only involves a few people. No, 900 awards that women should have. Females should have received.
There may be only a few transgender ones, but they're taking up all the trophies.
Yes. That's right.
900 that should have gone to girls, should have gone to your daughters, mm-hmm. but it's being going to biological males. And this issue is almost, it's 100% Democrats.
Yes.
I'm not aware of Republicans out there beating any drum on this.
Mm-mm.
No, Republicans are out there. This is a winning issue for them. It won for them in November, one of the winning issues in November. What I can't understand, if Democrats want to do better in the midterms, which are approaching quickly, why they're not changing their minds
okay,
on this.
Okay, let me just, Wesley's got something he wants to toss in here, but let me just answer that question.
Yeah.
What I think is at play here, all right, I don't know anyone, even in the conservative Christian community, but I don't know anyone who wants transgender people or young gay men or lesbians shoved in a locker at school or given a swirly with their head in a toilet or beaten up behind, you know, in a dark alley.
Nope.
I don't know anybody who wants that, okay? Just because we're talking about the political issues and the educational issues here, nobody wants that. And I think what the Democrats are doing is they think the American people are thinking about that issue.
That's right.
The Democrats think the American people are worried about transgenders being beat up.
Oh.
And therefore, they are going all in on every transgender issue. And the American people have separated these things. The voters have separated.
Yep.
They say, no, I don't want them getting beat up. I also don't want them competing against my daughter.
Yeah.
And that's the political miscalculation I think the Democrats are making.
And for the longest, that what you're trying to describe is the Democrats' reason for doing what they're doing. For the longest, for many years, when I was in middle school and high school, that was very effective strategy.
Yeah.
Now, we're a decade in, and the American people can distinguish between agenda and policy and people, individuals.
Yeah.
Which is why you've got now as of 2025, 94% of Republicans, this is February numbers, 94% of Republicans are against men and women's sports, 67% of Democrats are against it, which is how you get the total of 80% of Americans.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Well, this is the Democratic Party is a party in search of a message that appeals to voters. And not just to the radicals that increasingly are piloting the ship. All right, we are going to take a short break. When we come back, Sandy Rios will join us. We'll pitch a couple questions to her and get her take on what's happening. Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Ed Vitagliano, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Wesley Wildman and Chris Woodward. And we are now joined remotely by Sandy Rios, the champion, host of Sandy Rios 24/7, the podcast that is available to you at AFR.net. All of our listeners are pretty familiar with Sandy. Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ed. You made me laugh when you said remote. I'm thinking I'm up in a cabin, you know, in the Northwest, no plumbing, freezing.
Well, yeah, either that or maybe you were up in space for 11 minutes became an astronaut.
Giggling yes. appropriately. Yeah, giggling like all astronauts, good astronauts should be
yes,
doing,
oh,
right?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, listen, before we get to the story we kind of had picked out, we want to talk to you about a GOP governor from North Dakota vetoing library restrictions in the school voucher program. But let me just set that aside just for a few minutes and talk to, and get your take on the Democratic Party's disintegration when it comes to issues that matter to the American people. We were talking about before the break that Illinois is joining a handful of states that are doubling down on protecting men in women's sports. Now, we're talking about transgender women. By the way, folks, just to help you out, figuring out, it gets a little confusing, but when you hear transgender women, just replace transgender with the word not, okay? Because we're talking not women. If it's a transgender man, not a man. So that's how you, that has actually helped me figure this out. But Sandy, what is behind the Democratic Party's determination? Now, we're going to play this fair and talk about a Republican governor in a second, but they do not seem to be able to figure out what are valid issues for the electorate. They're all the eggs all in the basket on gang members being sent to El Salvador and defending men in women's sports. What is happening to the Democratic Party?
You know, Ed, I think maybe it's an issue of not having any kind of moral foundation. They're just for whatever gets them a win. And I think the older members of Congress or wherever they are around the country serving are probably not so comfortable with, you know, reading books on bondage to three-year-olds.
Right.
So they're probably not, and they're probably not in favor with all these demonstrations in the street, the way they, I mean, these horrible, ridiculous, you know, keyings of Teslas, because they know, James Carville came out and just talked about how ridiculous it all is, how out of their mind. But here's the thing. The leaders of the party who are ancient, and they are, both parties, but we're talking about the Republicans, I don't think have the will to fight the younger, like the Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. They don't have the will to fight them. They're the ones with passion who are digging in and they really believe. And so because they don't, the older dudes and women don't care that much because they're, again, their moral fiber is not solid. They don't have a base. Then they're just letting it happen. And I think they don't know what to do, so they're kind of letting it happen. And that's the only answer I can give you right now.
Well, and to your point, Dick Durbin, who announced this week that he is not going to be seeking re-election, he's 80. You know, I was wondering why he had decided to do this. Did it have something to do with not wanting to be humiliated by getting primaried and losing to a young radical? But he's 80 years old. There's nothing wrong with being 80. But like you said, these are not, you know, young, you know, run to the ramparts Democrats who are willing to fight for the direction of the party. It's really, we live in extraordinary times.
You know, Ed.
No,
sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say about Dick Durbin, just as an interesting, you know, I'm always adding, I think, interesting things.
Yeah.
I was in Chicago living, of course, there before I guess I was on the radio. Yeah. When Dick Durbin first ran. And I knew his opponent, he was a friend. And I really privately off, you know, I worked really hard to get Al Salvi elected and Dick Durbin beaten. We didn't know anything about him. He was a attorney from the middle of the state. He was wearing a bow tie. But the thing that we discovered immediately was that he was, you know how the Democrats lie now? They just lie and lie and lie.
Right.
He was the original. He was like, I've never heard anything like it. I mean, it was so hard for Al to debate with him because he was such a liar. And then fast forward, when I was in before I went to D.C., Dick came up for an election, and I was asked to run to run against him. That's a little sidebar, but I had it's an interesting story. I prayed about it, and within 30 minutes, a senator and a congressman I knew well said, "Don't do it, don't do it." So God gave me really clear.
Okay. Well, and before I move to Chris and the story that we originally wanted to have you on to talk about, I was going to say when you were talking about, I did not know that some had wanted you to run against Dick Durbin, and I was going to just joke around and say you should write a book about your experiences, but you have.
Well, I guess I have to write a part B or something.
Yes.
I forgot there's a lot of things I didn't put in there.
What's the name of your title of your book so folks can pick it up?
It's God's Velvet Hammer. God's Velvet Hammer. And it's on wherever books are sold. It's on also Audible. I recorded the Audible. And that's so it's God's Velvet Hammer.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
Sandy Rios is with whom we are speaking. Many of you recognize her voice. But she's had an extraordinary life. So pick up a copy of a book that you are going to enjoy. Fascinating. And you will see, as her life is demonstrated in that book, a lot of the major battles that Christians have been fighting for X number of years. So, go ahead, Chris. What's the story we wanted to kind of pitch to Sandy?
Yes, this is a story that anyone can find on our website, afn.net. North Dakota's Republican Governor Kelly Armstrong vetoed bills yesterday to further restrict sexual content in libraries and to create a private school voucher program. Republicans and governors and a whole bunch of other states like this kind of thing, so North Dakota was presumably the latest state to go in this direction, but they didn't because the Republican governor, again, vetoed those bills. In his veto message, Governor Armstrong said the bill represents a misguided attempt to legislate morality through overreach and censorship. The bill imposes vague and punitive burdens on professionals and opens the door to a host of unintended and damaging consequences for our communities. He also said the bill is redundant, overly burdensome, and places local librarians, school districts, and the state's attorneys in an untenable situation. Sandy, what do you think about this Republican governor doing something other Republican governors liked?
Well, let me put it to you this way. We have a lot of Republican governors and Republican legislatures. It might be surprising for you guys to know that most of them are not conservative. not like we are conservative. So this is really not that unusual. And when you look back on, his name is Armstrong. What is it, John?
Kelly.
Kelly Armstrong. I wrote down John. I got to get that right. Okay, Kelly Armstrong, when you look at his past, he served in Congress. And while he was there, he was one of just a few Republicans who voted not to support, not to challenge the elections of 2020 on that fateful day, January the 6th. He was one of seven. He also voted to table a censure bill against Adam Schiff. He voted for the Respect for Marriage Act, which would have made it would have put same-sex marriage in federal law. You know, the Supreme Court legalized it, but so it would have codified it in law. He was all in favor. He voted against censuring Representative Rashida Tlaib. And I could go on, but and then one last thing interesting. Mike Johnson nominated him before he left Congress to fill a vacancy on the House Judiciary Committee. He was nominated by Mike Johnson. Now, this kind of will help make my point. Mike Johnson, I'm not banging on him today. I often do. We think he's so conservative morally. He presents himself. He's so winsome. But this is what he does. These are the kinds of people that are serving as Republicans in the House in the United States House and also the Senate and also in the state houses. In Michigan, there's in Wisconsin, they just don't know. There's no Republican leadership. They're Republicans, you know.
Yeah.
They're technically, like they always say, they're pro-life. But they really do embrace things that the left embraces. And so he's just one of many. Kelly. Yeah, Kelly Armstrong.
Well, this will be just the last take that we'll ask you to give here. But I really don't understand. I certainly don't understand the Democrats' support other than the fact that the American Library Association, which pretty much drives the policies of libraries, whether in school or out of school, across the country, they have been in the back pocket of the Democratic Party for years. But how a Republican governor, these policies that Governor Kelly Armstrong of North Dakota vetoed, okay, simply wants to restrict the access of children to sexually explicit material. All they wanted to do is for that kind of material to be put in an area of the library not easily accessible to minors. I am just mind blown that anybody, let alone a Republican, could object to something so common sense that would protect our children. I'll give you the last word on this, Sandy, and
I just think it's very revealing, Ed. It tells us a lot about character, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because what man in their right mind would want their 3-year-old looking at this stuff? And yeah. An issue before the Supreme Court right now on this kind of thing, same but different, from Maryland.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, you know, leather and bondage, to reading this stuff to 3-year-olds. It's coming out in the court in the discussion. So I think based on the discussion, how it's going down in the Supreme Court, we may have a decision that would maybe, I don't know, because I'm not an attorney. So this is my guess, my hunch, that perhaps a bill, a decision by the Supreme Court like that would put the kibosh, would give reasons for people to challenge these bills or these decisions in states up to the Supreme Court. There might be something like that. So there is hope. Plus, I would think the people of North Dakota would be pretty disgusted with Kelly Armstrong, and they would pressure, hopefully, their state legislators to veto this bill. One other quick thing, there are freedom caucuses now, and I think 13 different states. I believe North Dakota is one of them. And they're really, this is what I grew up hearing, tearing up Jake. They're tearing up Jake. They're really making waves in these state legislatures and fighting and pulling the Republicans, that's who the target is, back to sanity. And so maybe that'll happen in North Dakota, because I think they have a Freedom Caucus. So we'll just have to see what happens.
You have anything else, Chris?
Yeah, we do have some audio on that Montgomery County, Maryland case, which we've covered for a couple of days now.
Okay.
But one of the things that people are weighing in on was an exchange between Justice Gorsuch and an attorney for the Montgomery County, Maryland School District, Clip 6.
and they're being used in English language instruction at age three, some of them.
Pride Puppy was the book that was used for the pre-kindergarten curriculum. That's no longer in the curriculum.
That's the one where they are supposed to look for the leather and things and bondage, things like that.
It's right? Not bondage. It's a woman and a leather.
Sex worker, right?
No.
No?
That's not correct. No.
I read it.
It's a drag queen. Drag queen.
Yeah,
like that's better.
Oh, it's just a drag queen.
That's what I'm talking
about. For a three-year-old.
Yes, the fact that that is a human being defending it, trying to explain why this is valid for instruction of three-year-olds. I'm just, I don't know how big hell is, but there's a spot for that guy.
Yep.
I mean, that is just abhorrent.
You know, I think if you were one of the justices, even the deception, because they're trying to make it, they're misrepresenting the book. Gorsuch said he read the book.
Yeah.
This guy is standing before him. Oh, no, not that, you know. I would think for that alone that we'll get a good decision. I certainly do hope so. I think even Elena Kagan weighed in with her shock. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd want my little nieces and nephews or whatever she said reading this stuff.
Yeah.
Could I add something else? Are you guys?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just want to kind of give you some context. This has been going on, these horrific books in school libraries since my son was 14.
Wow. Mm.
I got in a battle, and he was born in 1980. So I got in a battle.
So 94, you're talking
about? Yes. This is not new.
Right.
The American Library Association is one of the most left, wicked entities you
can
imagine.
Wicked. They're wicked. They're not just left-wing. You're absolutely correct. They are wicked.
Yeah. And so they, along with the National Education Association, have pushed this stuff. And I remember I was in Wheaton. Wheaton is DuPage County was a very, well, at that time, very, very conservative. A lot of mission agencies and a lot of very highly educated people. So a lot of parents went to that board meeting. We organized. I was young and kind of had my hands full, so I wasn't like a leader by any means of it, but I was part of it, just going there. And they completely mocked. These parents were like doctors, lawyers, you know, they were not like, you know, not that, I'm just saying from their perspective, they think they're so smart, and these are the parents who are dumb. These were not dumb parents.
Right.
And so, you know what? You know what the outcome was? We completely lost. They didn't care our concerns. Didn't care. They said that you could put your children could sit in the hallway. If you didn't like it, and so
we could have a long discussion on this. This is the challenge, and this was the point being made by our founding fathers about the necessity of a Christian and moral people, because freedom cuts both ways, as we all know from the Garden of Eden. All right, you can have freedom of choice, but that can lead to really bad choices. And you have these people whose minds are depraved. These are depraved individuals. This guy, I know he's an attorney for Maryland in this Supreme Court case. I know what his job is. He's supposed to defend the policy of Montgomery County Schools. I understand that. I don't care. Unless you have a mind that's depraved, you say, I'm not taking this case. I'm not defending this.
Right.
But these are people, I'm afraid a lot of them, they actually do believe this. They believe this is good for kids. And folks, when we talk about, and this is what Sandy Rios has been doing her whole adult life. That's why I recommend you get her book, Velvet Hammer. But this is why AFA exists. This is a war for the soul of the country. And we have got to call people back to the Christian faith, and a Christian faith that is rooted in the Bible, or we could see even worse wickedness coming at our children and our grandchildren, let alone the adults.
Hey, Ed, can I tell you one more story?
Go ahead.
We were actually in Phoenix. I have a sister out there for Easter, and we were praying about, I just longed for us, Easter service that was powerful, not some meaningless loud music. I don't mind loud music, but you know what I'm saying. I want something meaningful. And you know what? We just happened to go to a church that was everything plus. And actually, they baptized that morning 17 people who gave their testimonies. Guys covered with tats, stories of drugs, hearts broken. Some of them came to Christ that morning, and they just took them down and baptized them. And so I'm just saying God is at work. Yes, we are a depraved culture. We just, it's almost impossible for any man walking on this planet not to be exposed to pornography right now. It didn't used to be that way.
Right.
And so we are becoming corrupt and vile, but there's hope. There's hope and redemption, and that's our, that's the answer to what we're fighting here.
Amen. Well, and that is an excellent and needed reminder, a corrective, if you will. I get caught up. I get fired up about this stuff, but God is moving. And we've talked about on this program about some of the revivals that appear to be taking place on college campuses and around the country. And the thing about the kingdom of heaven, remember, Jesus talked about the kingdom sometimes being like leaven, okay, that does its work in a loaf of bread, and you don't see it oftentimes working, he said, until the whole loaf is leavened. And folks, we have to believe that God loves all these people, like you mentioned, Sandy, covered in tattoos and who are trapped in darkness. He wants them. And the church has to be about the business of preaching the gospel and loving these people. And God will change their minds on politics if their hearts are changed. And God is doing that, and what a wonderful reminder of that.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say, Sandy? This has been good preaching.
Yeah. Well, I just always love talking to you guys, and we're in all of this together. But I still feel optimistic. I'm not only optimistic in the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not optimistic in the rest of it. But I see His hand at work. We were in Canada. Is Fred is gone today? Right?
No, he's here.
I'm here.
Oh, Fred! Fred.
I've just been listening.
we were in Vancouver with my kid, my son, and his wife about a month ago, and we accidentally, without going into all of it, met a couple that are strong believers. And you know, in North Vancouver, you don't often experience that. This was actually in West Vancouver, where you know every other car is a Tesla. So we linked up with them, and we got to know them, love them. We went to church with them. So I'm just saying that even in that place where there aren't that many people who openly talk about their faith in businesses and stuff like that, I'm sure you would attest to that, Fred. It's not normal in Vancouver.
No.
That God is at work. He's at work in Canada, too. I mean, it's not just here.
No.
And so,
It reminds me, David Jeremiah is doing a series on the Church of Revelation right now.
Yeah.
He's been dealing the last couple of mornings with the church at Sardis, which wasn't a great church. But he talked, there's always a remnant.
Yeah.
Even inside that church, there's always a remnant. And I think one of the good things that's happening right now, we just played the clip out of that Supreme Court hearing the other day. You know, we can talk about how evil people are, but we just heard a lawyer defending a book being read to three-year-olds about drag queens. That lawyer was defending that. So we don't have to say this is going to happen.
Right.
No, Brother Don for years warned this stuff was going to happen.
Yeah.
Now it is happening. So now there is accountability.
Yep.
It's not about, oh, that's just Brother Don's opinion.
Right.
No.
Fear-mongering.
This is happening. And let's remember what's at the crux of this case. This is about allowing parents to opt their kids out of it.
Right.
That's right.
This is about allowing a parent to say, I don't want my three-year-old.
Yeah, this isn't even a case about whether this stuff should be available to kids.
It's not about book banning.
We can't even get that far yet.
No. Right. No. So I think it is good in a way that we have proof of how evil the agenda is of Satan's crowd.
Oh, I think so, too. And I guess one good thing, Fred, when I was we were fighting this battle back in the 94, and I was so shocked at the fact that the school board didn't care. The administration didn't care.
No.
And it was so shocking to me. Yeah. But it's parents did not, there were that handful of parents, but by and large, parents did not believe thinks we're that bad in their schools. And that's a battle that I had to fight on radio when I finally got on radio. Not at our school. Oh, no, we have a nice school. Yeah. And I'm just saying this has been happening. It's deep in the weeds for a couple of decades now. So. Yeah.
But it's come out of the weeds now. So that's
my point. I didn't finish my thought, I guess. But now it's getting attention, and people are getting fired up, and thank God for that.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to add this. Anytime we talk about these types of situations where, whether it's in public schools or entertainment, where the target is children, the Bible verse that comes to mind every single time any of this comes up is Jesus speaking when he says, if any of you cause one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better that you would have a large millstone hung around your neck and thrown into the depths of the sea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how serious Jesus responds to this type, because we understand that children are very impressionable and they're very they're dependent upon us in many ways, and almost a lot of ways. And this needs to be at the front of our minds as Christians, as we, so that way we're not approaching this softly,
but
firmly.
Yeah.
All right, God's Velvet Hammer, written by Sandy Rios. I know it's been out for a couple of years at least.
Oh no, not that long.
No, not
a
that
year.
Long.
It's been out a year.
Oh, a year. Okay, yep. Good. Yeah, yeah. So it's that's right. It's still relatively.
It's hard to tell time in this news cycle.
Yes, that's right.
I know.
Pick up a copy of it by Sandy Rios. Sandy, thank you so much for being on with us. You always bring some great perspectives to the issues we're discussing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Yeah, love you all. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, Sandy.
Okay, bye.
All right, we're going to take a 5-minute break for news. And when we come back, Steve Paisley Jordahl will be with us. Hope you join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.